Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 32. And we're going to look at righteousness today. And the word righteousness, the words translated righteousness in the Old Testament and the New Testament could also be translated just or justice or justness. And so we're going to look at some things here. Isaiah 32 is, well, in the beginning, it talks about stuff, and it's a reproof, and there's a reproof in there from verse 9 through 15, and then there's a prophecy of the future. So we're going to start in verse 15. But it does, in verses 1 through 9, it is a prophecy of the coming Messiah. So in verse 15, it says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. So that's pretty cool. That's a prophecy. The first part of this chapter, remember, pertains to the Messiah coming. Then 9 through 14 is talking about the destruction of Judah and Sennacherib's invasion. You know, Sennacherib was king of Syria or something. And then verses 15 through 20 is a prophecy concerning when spirit is given by God. And, you know, of course, Spirit was poured out on when? The day of Pentecost. Mm-hmm. Now, there seems to be another application when it will be poured out later on in the end times after that. I'm not really sure how that's all going to work. You know, we'll be different. We'll have spiritual bodies, spiritual minds, and that the judgments of the just and the unjust, of course, the just will be blessed in some way, which we're not 100% sure about. But but we can look at and be assured that we have spirit. In verse 16, the word judgment means decisions that are based on established standards. In this case, God's standards, right? So it says there, it says, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And then it says in verse 17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the word work is an interesting word. It means to work or labor, but it can also imply the result or the fruit of the work. It's used that way in the Old Testament sometimes. So in the NIV, it translates it, the fruit of righteousness shall be peace, which is pretty cool, huh? Then it goes on to say, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. The effect, and that word could mean service of righteousness, is quiet or rest and assurance, which means confidence or trust. On the day of Pentecost, the gift of Holy Spirit was made available to all that believed in Jesus Christ, right? And we believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. We believe that he was the Lord, and we got born again. We received Spirit. At that point in time, we were, what, cleansed of all sin, right? And we were made righteous. We didn't earn that righteousness. We didn't do anything, but we are righteous. And the word righteousness, again, could be justification, is according to God's standard. Now, the reason that they use the words just and justification and righteousness in different places in the New Testament is because when they wrote the King James Bible, there were nuances of difference in the definition. You know, they sometimes meant different things. When we think of being justified, we may think of one thing. When we think of being righteous, we may think of something else. But they really pretty much mean the same thing. So let's go to Romans chapter 3. So I just thought that's a great prophecy. In chapter 3, verse 21, it says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith or believing of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." You know, everyone that's born again, right? Righteousness upon all, to all. You know, nobody, it's like Jesus Christ is all in all, right? Here it's all, that righteousness is upon all them that believe. You know, nobody misses out. Nobody doesn't get righteousness. It's an important thing that God gives us. It's upon all them that believe. It is not self-righteousness. You ever run into somebody that's self-righteous? Or self-justification. It's not earned by doing good works, but you get it when you believe. It's yours. It's there. It's like when you were born, you have blue eyes or green eyes or brown eyes. You didn't earn them. That's just what you got. That was part of the package. When we get born again, part of the package is we are righteous or just in the eyes of God. In chapter 5, verse 1, so remember the fruit of righteousness is peace, it said, and the effect is rest and assurance, which is trust or confidence. It says in chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith," or believing, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, and when you connect the dots, obviously, when you believed and you got born again, it was because of Jesus Christ you believed on. And when you did that, you got Holy Spirit and you were righteous. You were made righteous. You were made righteous. If you weren't made righteous, you couldn't get Holy Spirit, right? God cleansed us so that he could put his Holy Spirit within us. In chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "Therefore," and then you got to read the rest of chapter 5 to know what the "therefore" is referring to, but "therefore, as by the offense of one," referring to Adam, "judgment came upon all men to condemnation." All men, everybody. In chapter 3, it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every man, every woman, every child that is born has sin nature until they make the decision to believe in Jesus Christ. And so all men, that offense causes judgment to come upon all men to condemnation, the sentence of death. "Even so, by the righteousness of one," referring to Jesus Christ, "who lived a just or righteous life before God, fulfilled all the prophecies, all the law, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." And the word justification is that same word that's translated righteousness. You know, you're made righteous. It's a free gift upon all men. Again, upon all. Everybody gets it that's born again. Nobody's missed. we're made righteous by believing in Jesus Christ, the right way of believing. And the result is that we have peace with God. And the word rest or peace is rest, an end of strife, a state of undisturbed well-being. We have peace with God because of Jesus Christ. What a great thing. Let's go to Romans 14. Now, when you speak of peace, there's two parts to peace. There's peace with God and there's peace in your heart and mind, right? Whether we're peaceful or not in our minds, we do have peace with God, right? We have peace with God. We're no longer his enemy. We're no longer at odds with God. We're no longer condemned to death, right? But then when we renew our minds to what we have, that's and we are aware of our standing with God, that's what brings us peace. You know, it's a fruit of the Spirit, right? And it's a fruit of righteousness. When you understand that you're righteous, that should give you some peace. You know, we talk about righteousness meaning that we have no sense of fear, guilt, or shame before God. So that should make me peaceful. Chapter 14, I said, right? And verse 17. Now, this is in a section that's practical. It's a practical section of Romans. It's talking about the law and food and eating and all that stuff. And it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. How about that? Isn't that a great thing to have? The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit there is the gift of Holy Spirit. It's the gift of Holy Spirit. And when we manifest that Holy Spirit, it should produce joy and peace, and we see our righteousness. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. So when you're manifesting that Spirit, when you're walking with God, and you're producing righteousness and peace and joy, then when you serve God or you serve Christ in these things, you know, you can't be serving Christ if you're not serving him in righteousness and joy and peace. But if you are, then you're acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace and things wherewith we may edify one another. You know, that's what we're to do. We're to pursue things that make for peace and edify each other. That's a great way to live. And the word serve in verse 18 is the word douleo. It's the verb form of doulos, doulos being a bond slave. You know, in the Gospels, you see the word disciple used all the time, followers of Jesus Christ. I've talked about this before. The word disciple is never used after, I think, Acts chapter 20. And it's never used in the church epistles. So not that it's wrong or bad to be a disciple, but God would really have us to be more than that. He'd want us to be more committed to him and to serving. He would rather us be like a doulos. A doulos was one who gave his life to the master, who committed his life to the master. So here it says we are to serve like a doulos, douleo, in righteousness and joy and peace. That's how we are to serve Jesus Christ. So that's with commitment. It's pretty great. So again, nothing wrong with being a disciple, but it's not as great as being a doulos. And if you read through the Gospels, you see that's disciples came and went, right? The 12 disciples then were what? Apostles. Those are the guys that stuck, except for Judas, obviously. And but those guys were committed. And then there were others that followed that were committed. But the word disciple is never used in the church epistles. Just not. You know, we are encouraged to serve or to be doulos or be committed. Because, you know, in chapter 6 of John, what does it say? Jesus Christ was talking about himself being the bread of life. And all these people have been following him and they have been seeing all these miracles and they got fed for free. And, you know, and then he said something they didn't understand or didn't like. And it says, many of them walked no more with him because his sayings were hard. You know, if you're really committed to Jesus Christ and you're really committed to God, what he says is never hard. You may not like it, you know, but what you have to do is you wrap your mind around it and you decide, well, I need to change my mind. You know, if I don't like it, it's not God that's wrong, it's me that's wrong. Right. You know, and those people couldn't do that. In the Gospels, you see that a lot. So, let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And this I say, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve the things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. As we walk righteously according to God's word, and we see ourselves as righteous before God, we're going to produce fruits. We're going to see fruits of righteousness. Just like it said in Isaiah, the effect of righteousness, you know, and the work of righteousness, the fruit of righteousness is peace. what does it say in Galatians 5:22? It talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on. So when I know I belong to God, when I know that I'm his child, I am righteous before him or just, then I don't have any fear, any guilt, or any shame. I have the gift of Holy Spirit, which proves to me that I am his son and that I am righteous. And if I know that in my heart before the Father, I should be really peaceful. I should. Let's go to Titus chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 3, it says, For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Not us, but these guys. Well, probably worse some of that stuff anyway, right? It's kind of an all-inclusive, you know, it's pretty broad there. If you didn't ever do one of those things, I think you're lying. Verse 4, but after that, the kingdom and the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Jesus Christ, right? That was what appeared, Jesus Christ. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Again, that gift. Well, it's the totality of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's everything all rolled up in one. It's the gift. It's the manifestations. It's walking by the word. That is so big and so great. verse 6, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. He shed all that upon us. You know, again, we didn't work for it. It's not self-righteousness. It's not self-justification. It's not earned. It's not by being doing all those good works out there and all that other stuff. Now, you know, we were created unto good works. But the real good works, and they may coincide at times with the good works of the world, and other times they may not, right? You know, Jesus Christ fed people. They were hungry. You know, today you have soup kitchens and, you know, they feed the homeless. Well, great. You know, it could be okay. If that's what God wants you to do, and if there's a profit to it, and God sends you because maybe somebody needs to get born again or get healed or whatever, you know, nothing wrong with that. It's a great, maybe a great outlet or a great opportunity to witness God's word. But whatever it is, a good work has to be directed according to the word and by God working in us. You know, it's done in love. It's not done. You know, a lot of times the world, when they do good works, they do it really for the wrong reasons. They do it because everybody says, oh, aren't you great? And they pat them on the back. You know, and I'm not saying that everyone, but, you know, when I see celebrities and they have these foundations and stuff and they do good works, sometimes I wonder, you know, is it really good or is they doing it for a tax break or some other reason, you know, to make themselves feel good maybe because they have so much and they see people that don't. Whatever. That's for God to decide, not for us. So, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified or made righteous by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You know, we have eternal life. That should give you peace in that, just alone, right? You know, it's not like if we screw up this life, we don't get another chance. We get another chance, and it's going to be a great chance because we're going to have perfect bodies, perfect minds, and we get to practice forever. How cool is that? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 19. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord there should be small, lowercase, referring to Jesus Christ. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, and the word Christ there should be Lord, again, lowercase, depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wool, wood, and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. It talks about this in Romans 9:21, and it talks about the potter and how he makes different pots of earth, some for honor and some for dishonor. And that just means their function, you know. Dishonor would be chamber pot or dirty work, you know. And then there would be other vessels that were for honor, like, you know, special guests and serving special meals and things like that. Anyway, it's just an analogy, right? So in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Okay, the word these refers back, and we're not going to read it now, but it refers back to deviations from the truth or holding false doctrines as truth in verses 16 through 18. Okay? That's what it's talking about. So if a man purge himself from these, from deviations of the truth, if he rightly divides the word, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, believing, charity, which is love, peace with them that call on the Lord. Again, small lowercase l, out of a pure heart. So that's what we're to pursue. We're to pursue living righteously, believing, loving, being peaceful with other believers, with each other. That's how we're to live our lives together. And let's go to chapter 4, and we're going to close there. Verse 8. What a great verse. This is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness. A crown refers or represents what? A reward, right? A reward. It's kind of great. We get rewards. Hence, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, which means, you know, at the end, at the gathering. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So, you know, if you love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to get that crown. That's one of the easy ones to get. You know? That's not a hard one to get. You know, you can get that just by loving, thinking every day, man, I can't wait till he comes back. You know, I want him to come back. I can't wait to see him. You know, and you get a crown for that. You didn't have to do anything. No dirty work. No, you know, going down in the gutter and bringing somebody up, or, you know, suffering persecution or anything. It's just you love his appearing and you get a crown of righteousness. What a great thing. But the fruit of righteousness is one of the fruits of righteousness, I guess, is peace. You know, and we're to pursue peace. We're to pursue living righteously, and then we produce those things in our lives. What a great deal. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us. For what a great God you are and for just watching over us. We thank you for how you have made us righteous and justified us so that we can live a life that's just the greatest with you and with your Son, Jesus Christ. And that we remember that we are righteous before you. We don't let the devil talk us out of it. We don't think of ourselves less than what you say we are, complete in him. We thank you, Father, that we can have peace in our life. We have peace with you, and we can have peace in our life. That if we just stick with your word and pursue that and just do the things that we're supposed to do, we'll be peaceful and joyful. And we thank you for this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.